Hey y'all, Hope here, and welcome back to a brand new episode of She Is Hope Vista, another in retrospect episode today. I was originally going to do the episode as both Wild Girl and Dominance together, but when I started taking notes, I kind of realized that they each really needed their own spaces. There's so much to talk about with each one. I want to keep it as simple and short as possible because I don't want to bore y'all, but they definitely have their own unique stories that do intertwine, but I think will work better having their own space. So the last episode I did talking about previous releases was talking about a song that I did called It Hurts to Know in 2014, and a really, really horrible, terribly produced EP called The EP that came out in 2013. So that leads us to Wild Girl. Wild Girl is the first song that came out after I put out It Hurts to Know, which hopefully not many people listen to. But Wild Girl was really my first kind of taste into this next era of Hope Vista that really revolved around branding and content and social media usage and, you know, really high quality recordings and working with a team. It was very, very, very different from It Hurts to Know. And the difference between the two is actually really insane to think about, because not a lot of time had passed between them. I think It Hurts to Know was released in November 2014, and Wild Girl was written like a month later. So it was released, I think, 9 months after we wrote it, but it was not a big amount of time between when that It Hurts to Know song came out and then when things started to kind of shift into a different direction with Wild Girl. So looking back in retrospect, it's unique and it's different, and it really kicked off a lot. So yeah, let's talk about it. What's really funny about Wild Girl is that I wrote the song with my husband, Okan, and his bandmate, Louis, the day after Okan and I's first date. Our first date, we were on a date in the city and we had plans to, you know, do some songwriting the next day, but I wasn't really sure how the date was going to go. And I didn't know if maybe like this songwriting session would get canceled if it went poorly or be really awkward. I was immensely nervous to do this writing session because A, I didn't know Louis, and B, I really didn't know Okan. Like, we had just gone on a date and, you know, we've been talking, but we had never, you know, we'd never hung out like aside from that one date, which was the day prior. So he was still someone really new to me. And also, I had never done a writing session like that. I had always written by myself. I had always just kind of sat on the floor with a guitar or, you know, sang a cappella or something, but I had never done a co-write before. So this was really nerve-wracking. And on top of that, like, I had just kissed this person the night before for the first time. So I was just immensely nervous. And I was also driving out of state for the first time by myself. I had never driven to Long Island. I had never driven my car out of New Jersey. This was like such a slew of firsts that really built up a lot of anxiety in me that definitely impacted my writing that day. But it was time for these firsts. If I really wanted to propel my career forward and do, you know, all of these different things, touring and playing shows and releasing high quality music and working with other people, then I had to just kind of dive in. And I guess what better way to do that than, you know, with someone that my manager did introduce me to. For those who know Bernie was my manager at the time, and he was also managing This Is All Now, Okan and Louis' band at the time. He was also managing a band called An Honest Year, RIP. Loved them. They were really, really quite incredible and very good people. But this was really my first foray into this. So, bundle of nerves. On the way there, I actually got lost in the Bronx. I was so freaking nervous that I drank an entire liter of Diet Dr. Pepper on the way there. And the traffic was so poor, I started peeing in the traffic. It was a nightmare because I didn't know what this traffic was. I never experienced it before. I was stuck in traffic for like three and a half hours total for that drive. And that just amplified the stress. I thought I was lost. I didn't really know where the hell I was, how to get out of the situation. I had nowhere to pee. So I just kind of started peeing in my car when I hit a bump. It really kind of set up a tone for disaster. And because of that, I was really, really worried that nothing good was going to come out of this session. But I ended up getting there safely. And Louis had actually just gotten ACL surgery. He was on crutches. He was still in his brace. He had like just gotten the surgery. And I was very surprised that he was still there, you know, while he was just at the top of his recovery. Profusely anxious. Man, I was so profusely anxious because who am I? You know what I mean? They were touring. They were doing a lot of different things. And I was just kind of this weird, quirky, unexperienced girl who had been trying to, you know, break out in the music industry for years, but was doing it in a really different way. Didn't have these kind of interpersonal experiences yet. Didn't really have any music that represented myself. And this was what that needed to be. So I was embarrassed to try and write in front of them because I saw them as professionals. And I was just like a college gal who had all of these big wide-eyed dreams and no way to try to set them forward. This was really the first step to doing that. And Bernie made sure that I had this opportunity. But really, I was just very self-conscious after the date as well. So going into this awkward session, I was very, very quiet. And if you know me, I'm really not very quiet, especially back then. I was very, very loud and rather obnoxious. But I had some lyrics down with this like wild girl idea, and they took it and ran with it. The lyric that I had was like, you were like a magnet pulling me to you, da da da. That was it. That's literally all I had. I didn't come in with any prepared song or melodies or ideas. I didn't come in prepared with anything because I was just so freaking nervous. I didn't know what the session was gonna look like. I didn't know, like, were we gonna start something from scratch? Are we gonna just kind of talk and see what falls out? I didn't know what to expect, so I came with nothing, which was probably a bad idea. But they took that line that I had and just ran with it and wrote most of the song. To be completely transparent, I did nothing with the writing of this song. I wrote like some of the lyrics, but those melodies, I didn't write a single melody in this song. This was the song in my career that I was the absolute least involved in. And I think maybe it was necessary then, maybe, because I was very used to 110% control with songwriting. It was all me, it was all my ideas, it was all my lyrics and everything. Melodies in terms of choruses, I always really struggled with writing. So maybe it was a good thing that I, you know, just kind of took the backseat and let them do their work. Alongside that, I got to watch them go through their process. So, you know, maybe unprepared, but I think the result ended up being, you know, what it needed to be. The original demo vocals for this song, we recorded the day we wrote the song. We just laid down like some scratch vocals just so we were there. We knew what the melodies were, whatever. They were timid. And they were lame and they were boring and they were scared. You could really feel the fear in the vocals in those demo, in the demo track. I have it. It's horrible. It'll never see the light of day. But it's just what was used to, you know, to write the song. It wasn't used in the final track. I ended up feeling like the song was bold and it was very like bouncy. It was pop punky. It was, you know, I guess kind of like pop rocky. But I felt like it was me at that particular moment in time. And that's how I feel about a lot of the music that I've released. It might not be me now or me anymore, but it was definitely me at that time. Like back then, I came into, if you know, you know, the swamp. I came in really towards the back end of it. I was never involved in those tours. I didn't know any of those bands before I met my manager, Bernie. I didn't know any of it. I really came in and wanted to fit in with them because that's what I had the easiest access to. Bernie was like a very prominent figure in the swamp scene and those bands and those tours. So because I was working with him, I had very easy access to all of those bands. I, you know, could make friends with those people. I wanted to, you know, there were a lot of really cool opportunities there that I was really grateful for. Did it really fit me as a human being? No, not 100%. I think part of it was, it felt rebellious to me. It felt fun. It felt energetic. You know, it felt quirky. And that's how I felt I was at that time. I think it was good for a girl who was coming out of college, had just lost her dad, and was really trying to set her foot down somewhere. And I'm always really grateful for it. But did it fit me 100%? No, Wild Girl is not something I look at and I'm like, oh, that's me. I look at dominance that way, especially in that time. Sorry if you hear my dogs. What ended up happening was when the demo was finished for Wild Girl, I brought it down to Atlanta, to ZK Productions, Zach and Ken. Zach Odom and Kenneth Mount have worked with a crazy amount of different bands. They're probably most known for Cartel and their record Chroma, but they've also worked with Set It Off, with Against the Current, with Mayday Parade. They still work with Mayday Parade for every record. And I learned about them through Bernie. He wanted to set me up with them to record some songs. I had been in a crappy studio like down in, you know, South Jersey before, but nothing of this caliber, nothing like these people who have this experience with these bands that I grew up really loving and latching on to. So at Bernie's recommendation, you know, I went down there to do Wild Girl and Dominance, and something like really, they really pulled something out of me that finally clicked into my artistry down there. And that really changed the tide completely. But there was something really magical about that environment. You walk into the studio with artist ceiling tiles, to showcase like who's recorded there. And there was a notebook full of messages from other bands and their experiences at the studio. It was like really overwhelming. I didn't feel like I belonged there. I was just, again, like a, you know, fresh out of college gal with no credits, with no really nothing like going on. I was just there to record music and they didn't know me and I was just learning about them. I didn't really understand what the process was going to be like, but the environment was so inspiring. So I stayed there a few days and got to finally learn like the difference between, you know, studio versus having a producer on your team who gets it. So really all we did with Wild Girl down at ZK was we reamped it and I just, you know, redid the vocals, did all the harmonies. It was gritty and I wanted to impress them. I was scared, but I wanted to impress them. I think that really is what pulled out the performance of the song. I was able to kind of dig in a little bit more to the gut. But the final product is punky and spunky, and I came up with this like tagline back then to describe myself on socials, and I don't know if anyone remembers this, but I said a splash of sass and a Fender Strat. That was kind of like my catchphrase. And I thought it really well defined Wild Girl. I wanted to put out the song and make a splash in any way that I could. So that line, I think, encapsulated who I was then. Big theme here with all of these kind of in, you know, in retrospect, like discussions is just who I was then is really not who I am now, but everything is a stepping stone to where I actually am now. Everything is a stepping stone, and I don't want to ever step over any of them and ignore them, because Wild Girl shaped Dominance. Dominance shaped Vista. You know, like everything is one thing into another. I always listen to this song, whenever I do listen to it, with nothing but a big smile, because I have some really incredible memories of promoting the song, releasing it. It was the first time I ran a press campaign with another publicist, and people were, you know, interested in interviewing me about Wild Girl. They wanted to learn more about me, which was kind of shocking because I'd always done the outreach myself to, you know, small local papers. There was a really well-established plan here. There was a really well-established timeline. I was being pitched out to the media. I was doing these interviews. I was taking photos. It was such a 360 from like a total full circle from It Hurts to Know to Wild Girl. And again, that timeline between releasing It Hurts to Know and writing Wild Girl was only like a month. Then I recorded the song, I think in like June 2015 and released it like 2 months later. So it really wasn't a lot of time, but I think leaving college, graduating, like, you know, my life changed a lot from that point on. You know, with my dad and moving and all these different things, I think that it was really a transformative time for me, and Wild Girl really came at the right time. It was definitely not like full-blown pop punk, but it is bouncy and it fit in with, you know, kind of the people that I was around at the time, and I was okay with that back then. I just wanted to put my foot in the door. I wanted to do something that made me feel happy, something that made me feel invigorated, and that's really what the song gave me. And it also really established a good working relationship writing-wise and recording-wise with Ocon and I, who is obviously now my husband. And it also led me to my first writing session with other people. So this song is really about firsts. This song is really about what led to everything else. And I will always be appreciative of what Wild Girl did. I know a lot of people really liked it. And that was, like I said before, it was always just really shocking to me because I never experienced that before. And I remember at one point I made like a hashtag on Twitter, and it was trending at one point. I don't know where in the world it was trending, but I remember it trending and clicking the hashtag and seeing all these tweets about, I think it was hashtag HV announcement or something like that, when I was going to announce the single. There were little things that I hadn't done before that I was getting a taste of and really enjoyed. And it was just nice to see the response. Working with Zach and Ken, I have worked with them a few times since. Wild Girl was really just the first step to establishing a longtime friendship with them. I'm still really good friends with Zach and Ken to this day. They've done some of my favorite records and some of my favorite people, you know, bands from when I was in, you know, junior high school. So getting to learn from them and see them in action, see their inspiration and how inspiring their environment was, just really brought me to life back then. And we also did Dominance in that session. So I'm going to leave Dominance to a different episode, but that is really the story of Wild Girl. I'm a wild kind of girl. And yeah, we'll talk about Dominance next time. I hope you guys are really enjoying these episodes. Go listen to the song. It is still on all digital streaming platforms if you want to take a listen. And yeah, thank you guys for being here. Talk to you soon. Bye.